Let's take our Bibles together to the book of Proverbs. Let's end the new year with some wisdom. How about that? Or end the old year and start a new year with some wisdom. We'll pick up where we left off in Proverbs chapter 13. Proverbs 13, and we are arrived at verse 13. Four things tonight from some of these verses that are before us that will help us enter a new year with wisdom, God's wisdom, as we end this year and start a new one, hopefully with the wisdom of God in our hearts and minds. Proverbs chapter 13, the Bible says in verse 13, "Whoso despiseth the word shall be destroyed, but he that feareth the commandment shall be rewarded. The law of the wise is a fountain of life to depart from the snares of death. Good understanding giveth favor, but the way of transgressors is hard. Every prudent man dealeth with knowledge, but a fool layeth open his folly. A wicked messenger falleth into mischief, but a faithful ambassador is health. Poverty and shame shall be to him that refuseth instruction, but he that regardeth reproof shall be honored. The desire accomplished is sweet to the soul, but it is abomination to fools to depart from evil. He that walketh with wise men shall be wise, but a companion of fools shall be destroyed. Evil pursueth sinners, but to the righteous good shall be repaid." Now, with all those verses, I think four things that I want to call to your attention from these verses of Scripture that we need to make sure that our new year is filled with four things of wisdom that I just read tonight. The first one is our attitude toward the Word of God. Make sure as you start the new year and for the new year that your attitude toward the Word of God is a right attitude. Because look what the Bible says in verse 13. "Whoso despiseth the Word shall be destroyed." I don't want my 2020 to be a year of destruction. Now, destruction doesn't come because, you know, you have to fight with somebody or you got in a war or something. Destruction, according to God's wisdom right here, comes when you despise the Word of God. So, how should we start this new year? Well, I need to start this new year with a right attitude toward the Word of God. You say, "Well, preacher, all of us have that right attitude." Well, I don't know. When it crosses you, you know why people despise things? Because it goes against them. You know, there's so many things in this Bible that are against the way I am and against the way you are, because we've got this old flesh. We've got this old man, and the Bible is against this outward man. And if you're not careful, you'll despise what God is saying about your outward man, and you won't take heed to those instructions. And it's a very unwise thing to live your life despising the Word of God. That's the way most people live. Most people despise the Bible. And some that don't despise it just because they've not read it enough or not heard it enough. By the way, you know that's why people don't go to a Bible-believing, Bible-preaching church, because they despise the Word of God. They don't want to hear that. So they go somewhere else where they don't have to hear what they despise. "Whoso despiseth the Word shall be destroyed." Look how many adjectives are mentioned about the Word of God through this text. "Whoso despiseth the Word shall be destroyed, but he that feareth the commandment shall be rewarded." Verse 14, "The law of the wise is a fountain of life to depart from the snares of death." God over and over is using different adjectives to describe His Word and the knowledge that comes by it. Look at verse 16. "Every prudent man dealeth with knowledge." In other words, we ought to be dealing with the Bible. This Bible is full of the knowledge of God and the understanding of how I need to live my life. You know, and today people say, well, you know, the Bible is not relevant today. If the Bible has ever been relevant, it's relevant today. It's just as relevant today as the day it was penned. But so many people despise it because it's contrary to them. People despise things that are contrary to them. Hold your finger here. Go to second. Well, I'll tell you, before we go there, go to chapter 1 of Proverbs. Proverbs chapter 1. You know, a lot of people love everybody as long as they'll always say things they want to hear. And somewhere down the road, God's word is going to say something that's going to rub you the wrong way. And so what's your attitude going to be when that happens? I was probably 12. No, I was probably 13 or 14 years old. Got in that revival as a young teenager that changed my whole life. And I'll never forget that preacher was preaching, and he was just preaching. And there's a man sitting down. He was saying amen the first part of that message. And boy, the heat turned up in the middle part, and going to the home stretch, it got hotter and hotter. And this old man, he quit saying amen over here. And the preacher just looked at him and he said, "Why aren't you saying amen?" You know, that was the day where you get personal with people. You know, you said amen for the whole half message. Why are you quiet now? And the preacher started talking to him. You know, everything was more honest then. You know what the guy said when he said that? He said, "Well, you're rubbing the fur the wrong way." He said that to the preacher. And just like that, the preacher said, "Well, then turn the cat around." And that transaction was, boy, I never forgot that. You know, there's a lot of things about in the Bible that might rub you the wrong way, but it'll only rub you the wrong way if you're headed the wrong way, if your attitude is the wrong way. There's nothing wrong with the Bible. There's something wrong with our hearts. And so the Bible tells us, hey, when you start, and I'm telling you, as we start a new year, make sure your attitude toward the Bible's right. Don't despise the Word of God. I said in chapter 1, the Bible said in Proverbs chapter 1 and verse number 7, look at what God said. He said, "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction." Only a fool would despise the wisdom and instruction of the Word of God. Look at verse 30 of Proverbs chapter 1. God says, "They would none of my counsel. They despised all my reproof." If God corrects you, it's for your help. It's because He loves you. Don't despise the reproof. In chapter 3 of Proverbs, verse 11, what does He say? Proverbs 3:11, "My son, despise not the chastening of the Lord, neither be weary of His correction." Verse 12, "For whom the Lord loveth, He correcteth." And some people despise to be corrected. And that is not the way you need to live your life in the year 2020. In 2 Chronicles, the Bible tells us this. That other verse I'll give you about despising God's Word. Make sure your attitude toward the Bible is right. And look, I said a minute ago, people don't go to a Bible-believing church and hear Bible-believing preaching because they despise the Word of God. They don't want to hear that. And that's also the reason why people don't read their Bible. That's why I'm trying to make much of the Bible. Right. Look, if you're putting it in your heart, in your eyes, and in your mind every day, then when you hear it preached and when it makes demands on your life, it won't be so strange to you. You understand what I'm saying? You go to the average person, you take a verse out of the Word of God and you serve it up on the plate of their life and they'll say, "What is this?" It's because they're such a stranger to the precepts of the Bible. The more, look, I've watched people all my life in the ministry. It doesn't matter how long you've been saved or how good a Christian you are. I've watched people's lives turn on a dime because somewhere in their life they said, "That's not for me. I don't want it. I don't like it. I'm not going to listen to it. I don't care who tells it to me." But that book says, "Whoso despiseth the word shall be destroyed." You just don't mess with God. You don't mess with God. The Bible says here in 2 Chronicles that this is what happened to God's people in 2 Chronicles chapter 36, verse 16. The Bible says, "But they mocked the messengers of God and despised His words and misused His prophets until the wrath of the Lord arose against His people till there was no remedy." I wish I had really good, bright news for the United States of America and other nations of this world. But all the nations of the world are going to be destroyed because they despise the word of the Lord. How's your attitude toward the Bible? Now watch. Go back to our text. He says in Proverbs chapter 13, you don't have to have that attitude. You don't have to have the bad attitude toward the Bible. I got to read it again. I got to listen to it again. I don't like what it says. You don't have to have that attitude. You can have a different attitude. What should our attitude be in this next year toward the Word of God? Chapter 13, verse 13. Whoso despiseth the Word shall be destroyed, but he that feareth the commandment shall be rewarded. There's a reward for fearing the commandment. Now notice, I was reading an author that wrote in the 1700s and he said, notice it didn't say that they were afraid of the judgment of God. They were afraid of the commandment. That's the difference between a child of God's heart that has a right attitude toward the Bible. Look, I am not afraid that God's going to squash me like a bug. I'm afraid of what He said. You see the difference? People that have no relationship with God and no relationship with the Word of God, they are just afraid of the outcome. Look, I'm not afraid of any outcome. The outcome's already over. I'm going to be with God forever and ever. There's no worry in my heart about outcome. But my attitude toward this, when I read it, ought to be fear of this. You understand? Not fear of the consequences, but fear of this. There ought to be respect to this. There ought to be reverence for this as I look at the words of the Scripture. And so many people, it's just an ornament on a coffee table. So you can have an attitude toward the Bible, you despise it, or you can have an attitude toward the Bible that you fear it. And the difference is the difference between destruction and reward. Look also at verse 18 in our text. He said in Proverbs 13, 18, poverty and shame shall be to him that refuseth instruction. But he that regardeth reproof shall be honored. So as we go into 2020, do you want poverty and shame? Who would sign up for that? Yeah, when I grow up, my heart's desire is that I'll be homeless. I want poverty and shame. Read something today about, you know, how many of you know the real fancy grocery store Whole Foods, you know, it's real expensive. Did y'all see that headline? Vagrants are going into Whole Foods. They got hot bars in there, real expensive, nice food in there. And vagrant homeless people are going there with their hands and just putting their hands in the big trays. This is a buffet line. And just sticking their hands and eating food out of there. You know what they do? They just watch them. They say, we can't do anything about it. I tell you what, who would want to follow that and eat after what? I mean, the guy's licking his fingers and then putting his fingers back in the food trays. You know what that's called? That's called shameful. Yeah. Who wants to sign up for poverty and shame? But the Bible says, do we believe the Bible? Look what it says. 18. Poverty and shame shall be to him that refuseth instruction. In other words, if my attitude toward the Word of God is not, Lord, instruct me, teach me, help me, correct me, tell me what I need to hear. If that's not my attitude, if I refuse the instruction of God, then what I get in return is poverty and shame. But, he says, he that regardeth reproof shall be honored. The difference between honor and poverty and shame in this coming year is going to be your attitude toward the Word of God. And it needs to be right. And this is what happens. People get mad at God and they get mad at the Word of God. But God never did anybody wrong. God is a kind God. He is a good God. And whatever is wrong in your life, God has not been the author of it. Sin could have been the author of it. The devil could have been the author of it. You could have been the author of it. But what people do, they start despising the Lord and despise. What did the Bible say about Jesus Christ in Isaiah 53? He is despised. What did he ever do to anybody? He is despised and rejected of men. And they counted him as one that is despised and stricken of God. What did he ever do to anybody? How could anybody that was living during Christ's life despise Jesus? All he did was heal the sick and raise the dead and give people the truth and show them God and give them eternal life and give his life for them and feed them. But yet they despised him. You know why? Because there's not something wrong with God. There's something wrong with man's heart. There's a lot to despise in the world, but it's not the Word of God. It's not the Lord. So as you start your new year, I'd ask you, wisdom would tell you to make sure your attitude toward the Word of God is right. The second thing I would tell you is in verse 15. In verse 15, the Bible says, good understanding giveth favor, but the way of transgressors is hard. The second thing I would ask you to consider as you start a new year is not just your attitude toward the Bible, but your understanding of how high a price it is to live a life of sin and transgression. The way of the transgressor is hard. You can either have a fountain of life or you can have snares of death, verse 14. The Bible talks about the devil taking people in a snare, by a captive by his will. He said in 2 Timothy 2:24 and 26. People are caught up in a snare because they've given their life to sin instead of giving their life to God. And the Bible just tells us, as we start 2020, look at verse 15. Good understanding giveth favor. If you understand that the way a transgressor is hard, the lifestyle of sin is too high of a price, you'll get favor in your life. But if you don't think in your mind that there's no cost to sin, you're going to have a hard 2020. You know, there's some people that have lived a good Christian life for a long time and all of a sudden thought because they had lived a good Christian life, if they do X, Y, or Z, that they're not going to pay a high price, that God's going to excuse them. But this wisdom says to every one of us, the way of transgressors is hard. It's hard. Somebody says, well, it's hard to do right. It might be hard to do right, but it's hell to do wrong, brother. You understand what I'm saying? You think you have difficulty doing right? Wait, if you give your life to sinful things, and it could be all types of things. It could be covetousness. It doesn't have to be sensual things. It can be a million things. Transgression is just going beyond the things that God told us not to do and disobeying His law and His precepts. If you don't do right, there is a cost. How many people in 2020 are going to wreck their life and they're going to have a hard life because they didn't believe that the way of the transgressor is hard? They thought they could do it and it'll work out. It is not going to work out. There is a payday not just for those who don't know Christ. There is a payday for anybody that lives a life of transgressions. God doesn't want our lives to be the result of this hardness that comes. You look at some people, they age, you know, they age three lifetimes because what they put their body and their mind and their life through was sin and transgression. It's like Naomi coming back, you know, she came back to her own people and they said, is this Naomi? They didn't even recognize her. You know why? Because when you get away from God, it affects you. When you get away from God's people and God's bread, it affects you. Whatever difficulties are for doing right, I wouldn't trade places in a million years for the hardness that people had to experience because they chose a life of transgression. Can't live, can't function in here. Can't function in here. Oh, it's just so hard. You know why life is so hard for so many people? Because God's word is true. The way of transgressors is hard. You know, Jesus appeared to the apostle, or Saul, before he became the apostle Paul. on the road to Damascus. And what did he say to him? He said, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? And this is what he says. It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks. The more you kick against me, Saul, the harder your life is. And you don't have any satisfaction and you can't live with yourself and nobody else can live with you. Why is it so hard? Because the way of the transgressor is hard. You pick the other side instead of God's side and you're going to have a hard life. Boy, I got enough hardness than having hardness from transgression. Anybody want to sign up for a ton load of heartache for 2020? Anybody want to sign up for guilt? I tell you what, people out there have a hard life. And the hardest life in the world, listen to me, the hardest life in the world is if you live 2020 out of the will of God. You want a hard life? Just live 2020 out of the will of God. You say, well, it doesn't look very hard right now. You're not at the end yet. I don't know, in all these years of ministry, how many people come to me and said, Pastor, and they've got all of this baggage, and it happened for years and years of life, choosing to live against the will of God. And then they want to come to the preacher and have him wave a magic wand and fix it. You know what? You can get in such a mess that a little prayer won't fix it. Because the way of the transgressor is hard. What's the moral of that story? Don't go the way of the transgressor. Go a different way. We say, well, everybody else is going that way. Yeah, and that's why they're nuts. And that's why they have to change husbands and wives about every 4 years. And that's why they have to have pills to survive. And that's why they have to try to fill this gap with all types of stuff. And they can't sit still for 2 hours and just think. They can't live with a silence. You say, Preacher, what about 2020? Well, you want to start a good year? Understand the high price of sin. You don't want poverty and shame. You don't want snares of death. You don't want destruction. You don't want thorns. You know there'd never be a thorn on a rose if somebody hadn't transgressed God's law. You never thought there'd never been any sick babies if somebody had never transgressed God's law. It would all be peace, joy, and gladness, but man had to transgress God's law. I bet Adam and Eve never thought how hard everybody would have it. And that's the thing about sin. When we sin, the way of transgressors is hard. But it's not just hard on us that do it. It's hard on other people that have to live with it. So why would I want to go that way? Well, I didn't mean to get to preaching this serious tonight. It's Wednesday night. But it's wisdom. Look at verse 19. It's a fascinating verse. The desire accomplished. I tell you what. I tell you why I get like this sometimes. That I have to keep it under wraps. Because I have watched enough heartache that it makes me want to explode. Explode on the devil and explode on sin and just scream for an hour and say, would somebody just stop and watch and listen and learn for a minute? Because you know what we have? We know what we have? People just repeating everybody's same mistakes over and over again. And whatever's going on now is going to happen a million times next year in somebody else's life. 19. The desire accomplished is sweet to the soul. Boy, that's better than hardness, isn't it? Don't you want something sweet? But, watch this. It is abomination to fools to depart from evil. Now to me, there's a lot of things that are abomination to me. You know, you look at some things in this world and you get sick, you know. You know, here's a transgender man having a baby. And you just go and throw up, and, you know, and just... It's just sickening. It's sickening just to hear about it. It's abomination. Ought to make you want to puke. But look at the Bible. It says it's an abomination. Somebody read it to me, Billy. What's abomination? It is abomination
to fools.
To what?
To depart from evil.
It's abomination for them to quit doing the evil they're doing. Just like you look at something that is really an abomination, you say, how in the world? Right? What in the world? A fool looks at leaving his sin that way. How could I ever quit drinking? How could I ever stop fornicating? How could I ever quit being proud and covetous? How could I ever stop this life of hatred and selfishness? In other words, a fool looks at evil and says, man, I could never leave this, because he's an addict. He's so addicted to his sin, he can't, just like you can't dream of some things that are happening today, he can't dream of going to church. He can't dream of serving Jesus. He can't dream of being a Bible reader. He can't dream of having a clean, pure life. That's abomination to him to depart from evil. What a mixed up brain. Why is he that way? Because the way of the transgressor is hard and it's right in his own eyes. He doesn't know what he's doing. Verse 25. Proverbs 13:25. The righteous eateth to the satisfying of his soul. Boy, that's a whole lot better than the other, isn't it? Satisfaction. But the belly of the wicked shall want. Boy, if I could just talk people into knowing that if you'll love and live for Jesus Christ, it'll satisfy you. And everything else just leaves you wanting more. Every taste of sin just leaves you wanting a little more. But Jesus satisfies your soul. So, make sure your new year starts with the right attitude toward the Word of God. Make sure your new year starts with understanding the high price of sin. Make sure your new year starts, verse 17. A wicked messenger falleth into mischief, but a faithful ambassador is health. Make sure that your new year starts with you delivering the right news to people. In 2020, are you going to be a wicked messenger or are you going to be a faithful ambassador? You see the verse? Look at the verse. He says in the verse, verse 17, a wicked messenger falleth into mischief, but a faithful ambassador is held. What news will you peddle in 2020? What message will you give in the next year? Will you be a wicked messenger? You say, what's a wicked messenger? A wicked messenger is anybody that's not faithful. A wicked messenger is anybody that gives the wrong news to people. People don't need to hear about you and me. They need to hear about Jesus. We need to be faithful ambassadors. So what are you going to be in 2020? Are you going to be a wicked messenger or a faithful ambassador? What does the Bible tell us that we are in 2 Corinthians chapter 5? We're ambassadors for Christ. And we need to be beseeching others in Christ's stead to be reconciled to God. You know, look, the ministries of this church, you know what they're all pointing to? Trying to get all of us to be good news bearers for Jesus. To be good ambassadors for Jesus. You know, sometimes the ambassador gets attacked. Saw the news in Iraq today, you know? The ambassador, you know, they said he wasn't in town, but he's coming back. I like that. There's a fight on, so I got to get back to the embassy. I appreciate that. Instead of saying, President Trump, can you get me home and keep me safe? No, I'm the ambassador. I'm going to put the flag down right there, and I'm going to stand some ground in this foreign land for my country. Well, that's our job. We need to plant the flag of the Lord Jesus Christ or the gospel and say, hey, the bombs may rain, but man, we are ambassadors for Christ. We've got good news to tell. And I want to be a faithful ambassador in 2020. In 2020, I want God to be able to count on me to represent Him well. You can be a wicked messenger or a faithful ambassador. last thing I've done. Would you look at verse 20? Oh, this is so important. Make sure for the new year your attitude toward the Word of God is right. Make sure you understand the high price of sin. Make sure you determine to deliver the right news to people. And then verse 20, the Bible says, "He that walketh with wise men shall be wise, but a companion of fools shall be destroyed." Make sure for the new year you choose the right companions. It will determine what your life will become. Look at that verse. He that walketh with wise men shall be wise. You ought to try to find somebody more spiritual than you and get close, as close as you can get to them. But the Bible says a companion of fools shall be destroyed. All you have to do to ruin your life is pick the wrong friends for next year. Did you hear what I just said? You can be the best Christian in this building tonight, but if you choose to be the friend of the wrong people in the next year, your life will be destroyed. That's not my opinion. That's what God said. You want to get around wise people? That immediately tells you you need to turn off about 98% of everybody in your life. All the voices on the internet, all the voices in the world, all the philosophies. Because those are unwise. The worldly wisdom is foolishness with God. Walk with somebody that's wise so you can become wise. It's so strange. People that don't want to live for God just gravitate to other people that don't want to live for God. And people that really want God's help for their life try to seek out somebody else that they think is trying to get help from God to live the life He wants to live. So 2020, who's going to be your companions? Because look at the next verse, and I've got to finish. Evil pursueth sinners, but to the righteous, good shall be repaid. In other words, look, you don't want to be a companion of fools because evil's pursuing sinners. And if you're a companion, a friend of the wrong person, whatever's hot on their trail to destroy them is about to get hot on your trail to destroy you. Yeah. Evil pursueth sinners. It hunts them. It's almost like a horror movie. You know, when I was younger, when I was a teenager, you know, we used to want to watch some horror movie, you know, and everybody gets scared. And that's just been embellished to just the nth of perversion and wickedness, hasn't it? But, you know, and you'll get these movies of something stalking someone. And they close the curtains or they close the closet, and here comes the boogeyman, and he looks through and boom! Or he swallows them whole, or eats them, or cuts their head off, or whatever it is. And they're terrified because somebody's hunting them, right? Somebody's pursuing them, right? And they're running, and they can't get away, and they're screaming, and they run through the cornfield, and they run through the maze, and they... Because somebody's chasing me. Something is out to get me, and it's under the ground. It's in the air. And it's frightening. Listen, evil pursueth sinners. Be sure your sin will find you out. It'll come looking for you. The evil will come looking for you if you don't have the proper life. And that's why he says choose right companions. Look, if the devil is about to destroy and swallow up somebody, if the judgment of God is about to just fall, and you're walking hand in hand with the dude, guess what? You're going to be collateral damage. You don't want to get in the way of the missile. How many good, sweet Christian people became a companion of fools and evil pursued them? instead of being having good repaid them. It's not all bad news. In other words, if you're with the wrong people, then wrong evil is going to pursue you. But if you will do right, if you'll be God's righteous child, if you'll just take your life and immerse it in what's good, he says, good shall be repaid. In other words, that reaping what you sow, it doesn't have to be a bad thing. It can be a good thing. You walk with wise people so you get good back. You walk with righteous people so you get repaid good back. Instead of trying to do things for yourself, you do it for the Lord. And even that cup of cold water that you gave in Jesus' name, you'll not lose your reward. You'll be repaid. People just harm themselves when they do wrong and they go with other people that do wrong. They miss out on a good harvest. This next year, I don't know what kind of harvest you're going to have, but it can be a good one, and it can be a destructive one.